I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
praise God, this is the Word of Faith Netcast, and I'm glad you could join us this week as we get into a new topic. We're going to be starting a new topic this week, and going to be giving you a couple updates. Going to try to keep the news short this week, since last week we spent so much time talking about Word of Faith Radio, but there's a lot happening there. There is now at least a schedule on the website, wofr.org. And the schedule is coming together. We're getting closer and closer to the start of Word of Faith Radio. We already have a test feed up, as you may know, and I'd encourage you to go there and check it out. Also, as I mentioned last week, we will be starting our regular radio broadcast, the Word of Faith broadcast. We've already developed a feed on the web for that, and we've already got it in iTunes. So if you're an iTunes user, you can look up Word of Faith Broadcast, and we're already out there. So things are coming together, a lot of preparation to get ready for that time. But when we start on March the 30th, now here's the big news of the week. Are you ready? The big news is we do have a time segment that's finalized, and that is at 11:30 every day, Monday through Friday. So mark your calendars for that. And get ready for the Word of Faith broadcast. And I'm going to be following a minister that I greatly admire. I can't tell you who he is because he hasn't confirmed yet. But he will be on before I am. And then I will follow his program. And we have some other ministers that are going to be following right after that are also awesome. So the whole lineup is going to be great. I mean, that's the wonderful thing to me about the Word of Faith Radio project, and that is that, you know, I already listen to a lot of these guys' programs by just bouncing from website to website as I can to hear the programs. But this way, they're all going to be on one internet radio station, so we'll be able to tune in and just leave it locked in there and be able to hear all these programs every day, Monday through Friday. That's going to be awesome, so I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's pick up with a new topic. As I said, we had a little break there last week when I talked about Word of Faith Radio. And this week, we're going to start with a new topic from Mark chapter 4. So if you got your Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 4. I've got my electronic Bible here, which, of course, is eSword. If you're looking for an electronic Bible, again, I will recommend go to e-sword.net. I'll put it across the bottom of the screen here. So that you can download this free electronic Bible and use it. It is awesome, and it's particularly good for studying the Word and really getting into the Hebrew and the Greek meanings, because it has a built-in Strong's Concordance. You just float over the word number, and you can read the definition. So that's really awesome. And if you see me doing that, you'll know that's what I'm up to here. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit and sprang up, and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, they all had ears on the side of their head. So he was obviously talking about something else than having physical capability of hearing. What he was talking about is, those of you that can hear this parable and understand it are receiving revelation knowledge. We've talked about that in past netcasts, about the importance of revelation knowledge of the word, where you're listening to the word being taught and the light goes on and you go, oh, I get it. That getting it is when revelation knowledge comes, and that's what he's talking about. If you've got ears to hear, if you receive this information by revelation knowledge, then it will be of benefit to you. And he said unto them, he that hath the ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 9, verse 10, and when he was alone, that is, alone with the disciples, and there were about him with the 12, they asked him of this parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery. This word mystery is mystery as in only those that are initiates can know. In other words, the inside group. These are the 12 that he's talking to here. Only to you at this time. Now, I will emphasize this. As he's teaching this, this comment is made in reference to the time frame they are currently in. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. He had not yet died. He had not yet been resurrected from the dead. The Holy Spirit had not come to dwell in believers as the teacher. So at this point in time, as he said this, unto you disciples it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Well, now, as born again men and women today, it's given unto us to know this as well. Amen. You need to be a disciple, as a matter of fact. You need to be a disciplined believer. That's what a disciple is, a disciplined believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says to the 12 here, it's given you know the mystery of the kingdom of God, and unto them that are without, or outside our circle here, all these things are done in parables, or in fictitious narratives, is the definition of the Greek word parabole, from which we get the transliterated word parable. A transliteration is where they take the actual Greek word and they move that word over into English, and it's transliterated and it becomes an English word, in this case parable. But the actual Greek word here means a similitude, symbolically a fictitious narrative conveying a moral. That's the definition. So all these things are done in parables. Basically, you know, they may get it, they may not. But he said, unto you it's given to know and understand these things. Now let's go to verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Now the implication here is, if you can understand the message of this parable, if you can understand what's behind this parable, you can understand all the other parables Jesus taught. Basically, all the things that there is to know about the kingdom of God is wrapped up in this topic of the seed being the word of God. We're going to get into that a little deeper here as Jesus begins to explain it. Because that's what they were literally asking him to do. They were asking him to explain the parable. What does this mean? What are you talking about? You know, the sower goes out to sow. Okay, that's a farmer. He goes out to sow. What is that? What are you talking about here? Well, he goes into his explanation in verse 14. That's what I want us to look at. He says the sower in this case is sowing seed, yes, but the seed is the word of God. Now, this is the part that if you get this, you will understand so much about the kingdom of God. You've got to understand that the seed is the word of God. Write a note to that effect. Underline it. Write it down. That's the part that is the key. You know how everything, you may have a huge house and the doors are all locked on that house, and then somebody gives you a key. It's just a little thing, but when you take that key and walk up the house and unlock the door, it lets you into the house, and then you have access into the whole house. Well, it's the same way with the kingdom of God. The key is understanding that the seed is the word of God, and the sower sows the seed of the word. Basically, here's, we'll kind of cut to the chase here just a bit. Here's the whole point of this. The whole kingdom of God is based on a seed time and harvest principle. Did you get that? The whole kingdom of God is based on a seed time and harvest principle. So when the sower goes out to sow, what he's sowing is the seed of the word. All right, let's keep going. Verse 15, these are they by the wayside where the word, remember the word is the seed, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, hold on, when they've heard what? When they've heard the word. How do they hear the word? The word gets preached. How does the word get preached? When somebody goes and preaches it. Amen. What does that sound like? Sounds like Romans chapter 10, doesn't it? How shall they hear without a preacher? And when the word is preached, what happens? People hear the word. What happens when they hear the word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So what are we talking about here? The seed that's sown is the word. The word is what you hear. When the word is planted in your spirit, it is by the process of hearing. Hearing the word taught. So here's where we got to start defining our terms. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. It's where I got to watch it and go a little slow here. The seed is the word of God. The next question has to be, what is the ground that the seed is sown in? If you start identifying the pieces of this parable, then you can understand the meaning of the parable. And if you understand the meaning of this parable, you'll understand basically the kingdom of God. So let's take it slowly. The seed is the word of God. What's the ground that the word is planted in? The human heart. You hear the word, it gets planted in your heart. What's in your heart in abundance comes out of your mouth. Sound familiar to something else we taught before? Amen. All right, so we're beginning to define our terms here. The seed is the word of God. The human heart or spirit is where the word is planted. That's the ground. What's the method of planting? The method of planting is sowing the seed. How do you sow the seed? Preaching the gospel. What happens when you preach the gospel? You hear the word. What happens when you hear the word? It gets planted in your heart. Again, understanding the processes. Now that you understand, we've defined some of these terms, let's go back to what it says here. When they have heard. So there's your process. The seed is being planted. How is it being planted? Because they're hearing it. When they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word, which is the seed, which was sown in their hearts. What's their heart? The ground. Where was the seed sown? Into the ground. You say, boy, Dr. Bill, you're driving this home hard. Yeah, but you got to get this. If you don't get this, you won't understand the parable. If you don't understand the parable, you won't understand the principles of the kingdom of God that we're trying to convey in the parable. Amen? That's why we got to do this, why we got to take it apart and look at it slowly, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how we're teaching this so that you can get it and understand it. All right, verse 16. These are they likewise which are sown. How is it sown? They heard it. On stony ground. What's stony ground? That's a description of the condition of the ground, which is their human heart. It's stony. It's hard. You heard in the scripture, have you read in the scripture where it talks about hardness of heart? Well, that's stony ground. Who, when they have heard the word, there it is, they heard the word. What happens when they heard the word? That's when it's getting sown, isn't it? They heard the word, immediately they receive it. It what? It the word, it the seed of the word. They receive it with gladness. Now, this word gladness is chara, and it's C-H-A-R-A in the transliterated form. It means cheerfulness, delight, gladness. Wow, they're really excited about this. They're excited about receiving the word. But notice what happens because they're stony ground. The heart is hardened. Look at verse 17. They have no root in themselves. They have no root in themselves. Okay, let's take it apart again. What's the ground? The human heart. What are they? They are a spirit. They have a mind. They live in a body. So what is themselves? They have no root in their heart, in themselves. And so they endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction, the Greek word thlipsis here, is affliction. It literally means pressure. Have you ever felt pressure when it comes to something you've received from the Word of God? You've heard a teaching, you're excited about it, you received it with gladness, the light went off, revelation knowledge came, and then you said, man, I'm going to live this. I'm going to put this to work. I'm going to walk by faith. What happens? Pressure comes. Why did the pressure come? That Satan coming immediately to try to take the seed of the Word out of the ground of your human heart. Pressure comes. Okay? Affliction. Persecution. Now, the word persecution here means just what it says. Persecution. In other words, that's when people are coming against you because of what you believe. Yeah, pretty much the definition of persecution, isn't it? Have you ever been in a situation where you got a hold of something in faith? Maybe healing? Or maybe financial prosperity? Maybe it was tongues when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I don't know what it might be. But you received revelation knowledge of the Word, and you told somebody about it, and they said, oh, I wouldn't mess with that. You better watch it. You better watch out. What's that? Persecution. It comes immediately because Satan's trying to take that word out of your heart. I remember back in November of 1973, it's November the 10th, as a matter of fact, 1973, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. Now, I was a good Baptist boy. I didn't know anything about speaking in other tongues. I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went to a meeting with a guy who was speaking. His name was George Otis. He was a scientist at NASA, and that caught my attention because I was very much into science and space travel and so forth. And so I heard him speak, and first thing he did was talk about all the work he'd done on the moon program and building the Saturn V rocket and satellites and fascinating stuff, and I was just enthralled by that. But then he got over to talking about the Word of God, and he got talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. This was at a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Raleigh, North Carolina, November the 10th, 1973. He's teaching along there, and I heard, and I had my Bible with me, and I opened up my Bible, and I read every single scripture very closely that he was teaching, and it was all in there. Well, it was all in there. He had an invitation. There were so many people, we couldn't even come up front. We had to stand right where we were. I lifted my hands, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was like a bolt of lightning hit me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Power flowed through me, and I felt myself getting weak and was about to fall over. Didn't even know about falling out under the power. Never heard about that, but I just was staggered. And I started to fall down, and I grabbed the guy next to me that I'd come with. And he said, you've experienced the power of God. And I'm like, okay. I didn't know. Then I started speaking in this language I had never learned, speaking in other tongues, and I was like, what in the world have I gotten into? Oh, my goodness, what is this? He gave me, the guy I was with, gave me a bunch of little, you know, pieces of paper with scriptures on it that he had, some study guide things and so forth, and then I went home. So I didn't live in Raleigh. I went back to Lexington where I was going to high school at the time. I was a junior in high school. I didn't know anything about anything. And there I was with my little sheet of scriptures, my Bible, and a very helpful, and I'll put that in quotes, helpful group of folks at my Baptist church who told me it was all of the devil and started giving me all kinds of books about how tongues were the devil and, you know, all this kind of thing. And I was like, what do I do? What do I believe? Persecution came to take the word out of my heart. So I took my little thing of scriptures and I studied it and I read my Bible and I said, well, it's still in there. And yeah, I still am praying in the Holy Ghost. What am I supposed to do? And I had a long, drawn out period of not knowing what to do. Pressure came. Persecution came. All because of hearing and receiving something from the Word of God. Now, thankfully, praise the Lord, and I won't tell the whole long involved story, but essentially, the Lord showed me supernaturally that tongues were not of the devil, that literally they were of God. And I later was able to get a hold of some books and some information that was of great help to me and were, you know, kind of grew out of that phase of being so afflicted and in persecution and pressure from that. But boy, if they're there for a while, I was hurting from all the people that were being helpful, trying to get me out of it. And that's the way it is. There's a lot of people that bring pressure, and Satan will use that to come immediately and try to take the word out of your heart. Okay, they endure for a time. Persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are afflicted. These are they that are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Notice they all had to hear the word. The word had to be sown. And that's the process by which it's sown. They all heard the word. And the cares of this world. The cares of this world. The Greek word here is merimna. It means distractions. Distractions. You know, the world can be distracting. There's things that occur in the world that you have to deal with day in and day out, but they can end up being distractions. They can end up being the cares of this world that will take the word out of your heart. You have to watch those things. Now, there's things you have to do. You're responsible for. I have to go to work every day. And there's things going on at work that if I let them become cares, they would pull me down. They'd be distractions. But I'm not going to be distracted away from the Word of God. I'm going to fulfill my ministry. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And you've got to have that bold determination to do it and not get distracted. It doesn't mean I don't go to work. It doesn't mean that I don't do certain things I have to do that I have responsibility for. It does mean that I don't get distracted from the important things, which are the Word of God and study of the Word of God and ministry of the Word of God. Like this netcast, you know, you got to take time to do some of these things. All right. Persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they're offended. They're sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares, pressures of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches is an interesting term. Did you know there's nothing wrong with riches? Oh, now, Dr. Bill, the word says that money's the root of all evil. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. Why, I know good and well it says that. No, it doesn't. What the Bible says is the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, you can have the love of money active in your life and not have two dimes to rub together. So, it's not the money that's the problem. It's not the riches that's the problem. It's your attitude toward them. The love of money. And it's the same thing here with deceitfulness of riches. The word deceitfulness is apate. In the Greek, it means delusion. Money can be a delusion. Do you know a lot of people get deluded into thinking that if I had enough money, I wouldn't have any problems? Now, let me just say that on the face of it, that has to be completely false. Because there's a whole lot of people that have a whole lot of money, and they got more problems than you do. So having problems doesn't have to do with whether you have money or not. Yeah, but Dr. Bill, if I had enough money to pay all these debts, I wouldn't have these problems. Well, you shouldn't have gotten debt in the first place. But at the same time, you can even get out of debt by faith and not have those problems. Money, no money, that's not the issue. It's your attitude toward it. It's whether or not you're being deluded by it, deceived by it, falling in love with money and its power and what it can do in the natural realm. Money can do a lot of things in the natural realm, not the least of which is be used to preach the gospel. And that's the best attitude to have about money, is receiving money so that you can turn around and use it to preach the gospel. Because that's what's vital and that's what's important. But the delusion that money is the answer to your problems, rather than looking to God to be the provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. I am trusting in Him, not in the money. I mean, I am perfectly willing for Him to meet every one of my needs and no money cross my hands. Now, that's not likely. He will use money. You know, if you give, it's given to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Men, give unto your bosom. It will come through other people. But you know what? If He did it without giving me money, that's fine with me as long as the need's met. Amen. I'm looking to Him as the provider, not looking to the provision as the most important thing. And that's the difference between the deceitfulness of riches or the delusion of riches. Then he talks about the lusts of other things. The word lust here is a longing, literally a forbidden longing. The lusts of other things entering in. Notice it has to enter in. The seed has to enter into the ground of your human spirit in order for it to take root. Well, in the same way, the care and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, when they enter in, they choke out the word. Just like brambles and briars and weeds choke out good plants when they grow up in the ground and take all the nutrients away from the good plants you're trying to grow. In the same way, they can choke out the word. And look what it says. Now, this will shock you. It chokes the word, and it, the word, becometh unfruitful. Now, if you think about what that's saying, you mean, we've talked about the fact that God's word is powerful. God's word is what he uses to uphold the universe. God's word is what he uses to create this whole universe. When he said, light be, and light was. And yet, these things can enter into the ground of your heart and choke out the word, and the word, as powerful as it is, will become unfruitful. My, that's pretty strong stuff. But you know, that's how important it is for us to protect the ground of our heart and the ear gates that we have. That's why the word here says, take heed what you hear. Another scripture in Luke, it says, take heed how you hear. It's up to you to protect those ear gates to keep the ground of your human heart free from these weeds, which is what they are, distractions, delusions, lusts, all these things that will come in and try to choke out the word, and the word is your power source. Well, we're out of time. We're going to have to stop right here, but I tell you what, you need to join us as we continue this study on the importance of the sower sowing the word in your heart. Meantime, I'd love to hear from you. You could write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org, our email address. Write me at that address, and I just want to hear from you, want to hear how things are going. And be watching the Word of Faith radio site, WFR.org, and stay tuned for the schedule and the changes that are coming. And March the 30th, as it gets kicked off with all those wonderful Word of Faith ministers that are going to be preaching the gospel, good stuff. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.